Good morning, Patriots. Boy, it's good to be back, I tell you. Last night was kind of a first of a show. And on the road for a few days and then had to take some time to get the podcast on the road transmitting system working. Some technical errors of trying to figure out what to do, and I didn't bring my mixing board with me. But all is solved. So before we begin, we have to do our daily public service announcements. You know what those are. Starts with the number one public service announcement for God and country, and that is Bardsfest. Bardsfest, 26th of August to the 29th of August in St. Charles, Missouri. You got to get your tickets and get on over there. We are talking about the greatest assembly of patriots in the name of God this country has ever seen or witnessed. And, of course, we are praying to be the greatest revival in the history of humankind. So get on over to Bardsfest. Get your tickets. There you can find them at bardsfest.com, bardsfest.com. Or, if you choose, you can also go to the lovely website, bardsfm.com, and look on the top bar, and you'll see Bardsfest. And guess what? Right there, you can click through and get your tickets. So get your tickets. Indoor, outdoor spaces, two events, one location, or one area. But two events, two different locations, one mission, bringing God and faith back to this country is the bedrock of everything we do. And then public service announcement number two, which is Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell and My Pillow. Mike Lindell and My Pillow. You've got to use that promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. They have some amazing sales going on right now, including a sale specifically for the listeners of podcasts and radio. So if you scroll on down, there's a little box that says radio listeners, and you click on that, you're going to find an amazing sale on towels right now. And you want to get in on that. That is an amazing deal. It's all American cotton. I'm going to tell you, I use these towels, and they're incredible. So, it is absolutely fantastic deal. Plus, they've got the normal fantastic deal of 40% off on My Slippers, which you're going to have anyway because Mike Lindell's speaking on the 27th, and you're going to need to have My Slippers for the My Slipper Revolution. And by the way, I don't care if you're there or not there. If you're going to be listening to Bards on the 27th, you better have your My Slippers on, so you're going to get your My Slippers. But then you're also going to need some My Towels to get your to get yourself all cozy before you start, right? So get on over there and get some My Towels, some My Slippers, some My Sheets, some My Pillows, some My Comforters, My Doggy Beds, and help support a great American company and a great patriot. It's just completely awesome. Okay, so there we go. Public service announcements now complete. All right, well, good morning, patriots. It is Tuesday, July 20th. I think the one thing that has really struck me after the conference is just how amazing the size of God's army is. And it's so many people that are looking for his love and looking to stand in his name. This is an important point because right now we are dealing with a cabal that is absolutely on the offensive to try to destroy humanity with this injection bioweapon. We know that they are targeting one of the biggest voices in that, and the woman that we all respect deeply, and that's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, along with all of her medical team is fighting with that, the 5Ds, along with others in that movement that are making it very clear that this is not an injection that can be taken. This was designed specifically to destroy the human genome and to do the biddings of Lucifer in the name of worshiping the pharmaceutical companies. So as we look at this, we realize how desperate they are because they really thought they could slip this one in. I think they thought they could get it in quietly, use fear as the major motivator. And of course, we don't need fear, and we're not going to worship fear. But fear is the key catalyst to everything that these evil people do. Everything is centered around fear. So let me begin this morning with Isaiah 54:2-3. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, and will people be desolate cities. We are going to be in a place as we move forward that is going to increasingly require us to create more space under our roof for those that are seeking and those that are awakening. And it is our duty and mission to do so. This is one of the hardest paths to which we walk, because not only do we have to deal with the accusations and assaults, disparaging attacks, the attempts to destroy our reputations from the cabal, but we also have to deal with the many that are seeking and trying to understand, and all the emotions that go with that. First on the list, once they come to an awakening, is going to be anger and denial. Those two are the hardest to overcome. And once denial is overcome, usually it's anger next. We know very well that as we walk in this place with Christ in our heart, that there isn't anger that drives us. It's righteousness and righteous indignation for what they've done. But it's a very fine line, and it's one that we are having to tread carefully on at all times. It is difficult to witness this destruction that's going on before us. And more than that, it's even more difficult to witness the amount of hatred that this cabal is able to create by fanning the flames of fear. Their latest attack is obviously very much geared towards trying to blame infections on us, which we knew was coming. But they're using that now as a motivation to promote not only fear, but wrathful anger from the other side, to get people to try to willfully attack one another and to infuse a civil war. That's a place is their trap, and not a trap that we can accept. They seek nothing more than trying to destroy everything and burn it to the ground, so that in the midst of this destruction, they can arrive as the saviors of society to offer a new way, a new reconstruction of all things from bottom up and top down, which would include a new currency, which would include a new worship, which would be them, the destruction of all things connected to God, and ultimately the destruction of the human genome remade in the image of Lucifer himself. That is the attempt that is going on, and it's one that we have to hold steadfast into God's wings to know that it is not going to happen on our watch. We are here to occupy this land and to expand God's kingdom. And that is a walk that we know that is not in this world. We are not of this world, but it's a walk that we have to make in his name, and one that we know that will almost guarantee at some point or another that we will be persecuted. But there should be no fear there, because we've already won that amazing lottery. That lottery, that gift of all time, which is everlasting life with the love of Christ within our heart. What lies ahead is going to be demanding on all of us. And through our prayers and through our steadfast walk in truth and love of him, we will get through this. And we will get through this powerfully, because we are the many, they are the few. But they like to use the ideas of their power, their leverage, their threatening tools of war, their threatening tools of police forces, to try to intimidate and break the will of us. And yet, this is exactly what they're afraid of. They're afraid of the people that don't listen to them, that stand true and steadfast in the name of the Lord, and know very well that there's nothing that they can do to us. One of the things that I spoke of last night, it's a very important concept right now, is to avoid at all costs the fears that they try to create, especially the fears that come about through the revealing of truths. There are so many pieces about this injection, and the more that we learn about it, it's just a never-ending cascade of destructive mechanisms that they have put within the body. And it's not just, I don't believe that it's universal. They seem to be mixing the recipes for these injections so that there's different effects, which would be on par with their type of strategy to create batches of reactions within people that are different, but each one more complex, slightly disconnected, never knowing exactly what's going to happen next. That's a center point to how they operate, constantly trying to undermine and underpin life, undermine life and with their fear, and underpin life with the fears that they create. And it's through fear that they're able to take truth and turn it into a weapon against us. Now just consider this. If you start to learn about a detail of an injection and some new feature or negative side effect that it has, that's suddenly, if we don't manage it correctly, that becomes an anxiety and a fear within us, then becomes a force that the cabal can use against us. We have to absolutely stay steadfast in our relationship with God. Isaiah 54, 16 to 17, "Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord." We are the servants of God. We are the children of God. And these are important things never, ever to forget. We are, as his offspring, able to stand against this evil, and ultimately this evil is to bow to us. That's the part that we haven't completely embraced yet, as to what it truly means to walk with Christ in our heart and to be truly the servants of the Lord. No weapon can succeed against us. And as we grow stronger and we stand more boldly in his name, nothing can defeat us. They'll try to tell you otherwise, because remember, they are in this world, and all that they are is in this world. We are not of this world. And when we can stand boldly in that place, knowing that, they will try to do heinous things to try to break our will. Never, ever stop that connection with God and through prayer. Never stop standing boldly for truth. And never let the truth become the tools of fear that they want them to be. Face the truth boldly. Don't worry about what you discover. Just face it with open eyes and open ears. Understand what the threat is. Like any good military operation, you have to understand what the enemy is and what they're capable of. And then we maneuver against them. And the greatest action we have in maneuvering against this enemy, those tools become truth. They become prayer, and they become the gifts and talents which we are each embodied with, to use them in such a way as to reforge this world in God's name. An enemy like this, once they lose grip of fear, will become tyrannical in a dark way. Again, they would rather see this all burned down than just to have any sort of loss that they have to declare. But they can't handle what they can't control. They don't know what to do with it. They threaten. They do the predictable things. They rattle more sabers. They try to do things like go door to door to intimidate you to take an injection. They start collecting your data. They start using tools like NSA and other agencies to start monitoring everything you do. They start using the weapons of tyranny like the FBI to come knocking at your door and intimidate you. They'll try to use the media in its weapon system as it is to deploy it against the people, worse than it already has, to try to dig into anything in your background that they can proclaim as a defamation to the very being that you are. None of that is valid, because once we've accepted Christ and we're walking in this walk, all of that has been erased and forgiven. Never forget that. And that's all of us. What we're focused on now is the moving ahead in the name of the Lord. And in doing that as one army, as one great, powerful army, they cannot stop us, and they know this, and they are panicked. They are panicked because they know that what's coming is not just their reveal, but it's our awakening within the name of God. And that means we're rising up. We're taking back this world in an amazing way, and we're taking it back in His name and His glory. I would generally say, and I think most would agree, that none of us ever imagined to be in this place in our life, and yet here we are. And the beauty of that statement is that God put us here for a reason. He wants us here. He trusts in us. And as we let go of all of those other ideas of the world, and we let go of what we thought the world was or what we hoped the world to be, we now anchor into the present and in the living moment, knowing that God is with us in each and every step, that He's breathing that life and power within us in each movement we make forward. We know that we have Him, and there is nothing that can defeat us and nothing that can attack us. There is a world out here right now that is truly lost. The messages that they're getting range from emotional type pulpit speaking, which is to try to fan the flames of excitement in the name of Jesus Christ and have people stand up and proclaim the Lord. And while I don't condemn that, I'm ultimately going to say that as a people, what we need right now is a wholesome grounding in the true meaning and name of what God intended. Christ was not a circus performer. Christ did not need to wave His hands and get people all excited and standing up and proclaiming His name. Christ spoke truth, grounded deeply in God, grounding deeply in His Father. And He spoke it with the firmness of walking on this land, telling people the truth and standing between those that followed Him and the evil that attacked Him and them. He never stopped. And He also didn't stand in one place to allow the crowds to constantly gather and to worship Him. His words were to be left in the hearts of the people as He moved forward, to awaken their hearts and to let them seek out the truth through God. This is an important point to remember, because as we're walking here, as all of us together, what we're trying to do is to lay seeds and to constantly be seeding the ground with His word and the grace and glory that all that Christ can bring. The healing that is so necessary for this time. If we remember that and constantly trying to seed this land with God's love and the healing powers of Christ, then what we know is that one after another, we keep casting those seeds. We're not trying to convert people in an instant. We're not trying to change everybody to the love of Christ in every single encounter. What we're trying to do is to leave that crack of that door open slightly so that patriots that encounter us, people that encounter us, can know that there's something there that has hope and has light. People in darkness don't suddenly seek light by themselves. And sometimes it takes a number of times. I had the opportunity to spending some time with Dr. Eric Napudi over the weekend, and he and I had a lot of discussions about this. And he's referring to one particular pastor some of his congregation has said that he doesn't go deep enough within Scripture. And the pastor said this. He said, "That's not my role." He said, "If you're looking for me, go to the strip clubs, go to the bars, because I'm finding the lost there and I'm bringing them to God. And once I open that door for them, then they need to seek more deeply. And sometimes that means they go to another church to discover that, or they go deeper within the Bible on their own." But I think that's an important perspective, because if we're trying to help the many, what we're trying to do is just reach people one person at a time. The most powerful thing that Christ did in his entire time here on earth was that He engaged people one-on-one. He took that time. I've mentioned this story before. It's just one of my favorite stories in Scripture, which is when Christ stood between the woman accused as being an adulteress and those holding the stones ready to cast stones upon her. As He scribbled things on the ground and they made their attempt to Him to try to decide, trap Him in some sort of trick where he would have to take sides. He took neither, nor did he offer the salvation to either. What he does in that moment is to force those, each of them, to reflect deeply upon themselves and their station in life. And in so doing, each group, those of the accused and the woman herself, are left with a pathway ahead to choose a way forward on their own. That choice was theirs to make, a choice of whether to continue to be an accuser, to continue to be a condemner, and to continue to be a sinner, or a choice to walk truly with Him and the God and God in our hearts. Those are the sorts of challenges I think that are best suited for the time that we're in right now, where we literally almost have to speak in parables. We have to speak with that power and mastery that Christ presented to us, that format of talking, where we're not accusing, we're not trying to frighten those around us. There's plenty of fear. We don't need more fear. What we need instead is hope, and people need to see that there is hope, no matter where they are. The injection is a deadly thing, and if they've taken it, there's really no medical way back from that that we know of. Yet the one thing that we do know is that Christ can heal all things. Now, how people are healed depends on their relationship with God, and it's not something I can forecast, nor would I. That relationship with God, it begins on their knees. No matter whether they had accepted Christ in their heart or whether they had never known Christ, if they've taken the injection in one form or another, they've turned their back on God. That doesn't mean that God won't accept them back. And that's the most important part of all of this. In our own frustration and our own carrying of this weight, we know very well that there is the potential of being an amazing amount of damage caused by this injection bioweapon. But if we don't focus on that, but instead focus on the power and glory and the healing of Christ, then we begin to build those new bridges that God would want of us. There are many that are going to be afraid. And in that first step of awakening, it is denial. They will not want to hear that the choice that they made, which was a willful choice on their own, regardless of whether they felt that they were fully given the knowledge necessary, they made the choice to put something within their body to transform their temple and turn it away from God. But the most important part is that we keep those doors open and that pathways there, and that they're able to feel comfortable coming back to join us in our tent. Now, I've used this metaphor many times, and that metaphor is the walking of the river together. When we start at the headwaters of the river, we begin walking down that path, and we're literally side by side. And the farther down we go, as the river begins to grow, we begin to find the distance between us grows. And the farther down the river we go, the more intense the waters are, the more intense the rapids are. And even though we can get across, it becomes more challenging. But as the river approaches the ocean, it becomes very wide. There's a tremendous amount of undercurrents. There's all sorts of different traps within the water that make the crossing more and more difficult if you were to swim it. Adding to that is just the physical complication of getting across a river that well, that wide, and that active. The sad part about what this injection is doing is it's degrading the physical capability of people. It's diminishing the function of their heart. It's diminishing the functions of their body as a whole. And it's designed specifically as a weapon system to do just that, to break the power and prowess of who we are as humanity. That's going to make it increasingly difficult for those that are seeking God to get back to Him. Because in that same metaphor of the river, especially when the heart becomes damaged, it's not that they may not want to get back, it's that they physically can't anymore. And I say all this because time is of the essence. The time that we face now, it's important to be in our communities, talking to one another, opening that door to Christ, and building the awareness of the dangers in which many people have embraced with this injection in their body. Not to condemn, but to guide back to the light. Let them find their path in relationship with God. And in so doing, let us bring the many back to Him to repent and hopefully be healed, spiritually healed and physically healed. But how much the physical is healed will depend purely on their relationship with God. It's not something that we can control. So this ultimately becomes our most intense and most demanding mission. The mission to lead the many back as we can to Him, to humble themselves before Him by their own free will. And that's the key. They, by their own free will, have taken this injection. They, by their own free will, have decided to walk across that line. But by their own free will, they can equally choose to return to Him and to be healed in spirit and hopefully in body. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. What an amazing idea. Because it's not about how we perceive this world. It's about our trust in God Himself of what brings us to this point and what pushes us forward. Let us not limit what the Lord can do. Let us not put caps or stones around things to prevent Him from doing the miracles that He can do. As we put our faith in God, let us dig deeper within our faith of where we want this world to be, not the images the cabal wants us to believe it to be. That in itself is probably one of the most important concepts of this time, is that we must cleanse ourselves of the negativity, the images of defeat, the images of destruction, instead put our emphasis on the glories and images that God desires for us, that are those of happiness, of joy, of unity, and of love. And when we put our strength there, knowing that the lines that we hold are impenetrable, that we will not bow in any way, that we'll stand boldly against this evil, and no matter what is cast upon us, we will not fail, and that we will stand boldly with God to bring about a world that truly is built on the foundations of His trust and our love for Him. That world, no matter what is thrown at you, no matter what horrors are programmed into your mind, no matter what ideas are placed there to try to manifest a different reality, those powerful places of living and trusting truly in the Lord remove all of that control from us and upon us, and instead leave us in a place where we truly can walk with in this path, not in this world and not of this world, but the path that Christ intended us to walk, which was that related to Him, with Him within us, remade in His image, and ultimately reconnected to Father in the full and glorious way. So let us stand. Let us stand in His name. And let us walk in this world with Christ in our heart boldly, not afraid of anything, to fearlessly stand against those that speak lies, that try to control us through their intimidation and their fear, to try to ignore the words that we speak in truth, and instead let us hold them accountable in God's name. Let us fill the city councils, the school board meetings, the county commissions. Let us fill them with the song and hymn that God intended us to sing. Let us bring His holy power within those spaces and crush down the evil and leave those cowering. We need to do this where two or three or more are gathered, to do that in His name, to completely break the back of what this cabal is trying to do. We are strong patriots. We are almost stronger than anything the world has ever imagined, for we are the children of God. And when we use the tools that God gave us, which is the proclaiming His words, proclaiming the hymns, and singing those powerful words within public space, and doing it together as two or three or more, there is nothing that can stop Him, nothing that can stand before us, and no weapon can be forged to defeat us. This is our path and our true fight, and in so doing we know that we accomplish the greatest mission God has ever put before us, to truly hold this land in the face of the greatest evil we've ever seen, and in the end, to win with Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time and this glorious space in which we live, in which You've given us the blessing of eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, let us truly be the Davids of our time, to stand up against the Goliaths fearlessly, knowing that what Goliath and those that stand before us represent is the worship of the darkness, the worship of the dark Lord, and the destruction of all things You created. Let us speak these words that You will not pass. We will stand and we will never bow. And we will stand there knowing that you are with us, Lord, that Christ is within us. And in this walk that we stand, that we move forward, that no weapon will be forged against us, for we will defeat all in your name and your glory. This is a time, Lord, it will demand a lot of each of us. A time in which we must truly be bold in the way that Christ was bold, flipping tables at times as necessary, speaking boldly the truths that only come from that pure heart that's related to you, speaking fearlessly, using the power of him in prayer in the public square, coming together in the strength and in your name to proclaim your presence, to proclaim your power in each space that we live in and each space that we walk in. Let our communities once again shine with the glory of your love and your light, and let all know that in this nation we are truly built on the foundation of these simple words, in God we trust. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. What an amazing time we live, patriots. What an amazing time. So let us be bold. Let us be just joyful in what we do, but also focused in this fight ahead. They can never take away which we have in our heart unless we give it away. And those that walk in darkness need to understand that as well. They can never be taken as long as they embrace Christ truly in their heart, even if they've taken the injection. There may be a heavy burden to pay for the physical damage, but their spiritual salvation will be guaranteed. That's our mission. Mission forward, eyes forward, head up, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. This is a fight now that requires every day our recommitment to Christ, every day our recommitment to the Lord, every day our recommitment and strengthening with prayers, for these are principalities beyond our control and our sight, but we will stand against them, knowing that God has protected us in all his armor. And God is, knowing that God is with us, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. We also know that with that bold and stance we make, God will always win. So have a blessed day. I'll see you in the next hour for Storm Dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
the thunder and you're standing up. Said I'm running for cover and there's a new dawn coming over the water, seeing we're the ones, knowing there's no other. Would you be the last benevolent mouthpiece? Heaven knows we need you now. Would you be the most of a world that's coming down, standing up on our own for the things we know. Raise a voice, hear it echo. Raise a voice, hear it echo.
Raise a voice, hear it echo.